This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, To Those Who Serve.
That we need to pause and we need to think about those who are in authority, whom God has put over us, that we would be sure that as believers we have a very good attitude about what it is that's going on. So this Memorial Day weekend is a time to remember those who have sacrificed life and limb in service to our country. As Jim pointed out, there are overseas peacemakers, and they have been for generations serving our country, and they deserve our consideration and appreciation on a day like this. And again, I would like to pay homage to the local peacemakers, the people who keep you safe on the roads or keep you safe here at home. Both the average soldier and the average police officer believe in the heart of their work, and that the heart of their work is to serve, protect, do good, and preserve the peace. Well, of course, I don't know how much the media believes that, because it just seems that everyone gets painted with the same brush. It's axiomatic when you say that there are always a few bad apples in a barrel. But let's not blame everybody for a few bad apples. And I think that we should know that every cop in the country probably feels the pressure. It's a good day to stand up for the American soldier and the American police officer and to say thank you for your service. We applaud you, and so does God. Have you served in the military? I'd like you to stand. If you're a police officer, I don't think we have any police officers, but if you serve, stand with me as one who has served. Have you served this morning? And Bert, I know you, Joe, Danny, Jim, George. God bless you guys. And thank you for your service this morning. Our text is Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7 up here on PowerPoint. Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whoever, therefore, resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will you now not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. And for this cause pay you tribute also, for there are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to those who are honorable. Verses 1 to 7 tell us that God has delegated authority, that government has delegated authority. God gave government the authority it has. It's been delegated to them. They didn't get it on their own, although they sometimes like to think they did. These institutions are God sovereignly begun. And they've been established by God for a reason. The text tells us that God instituted government to attain the highest good for its citizens. Now, we've been around long enough to know that not every government has the highest and the best for its citizens. We understand that. And we also understand that the mission of government, according to the text, is to maintain law and order. And we know sometimes that goes astray. What are we dealing with? In the final analysis, we are dealing with imperfect institutions. God ordained them, and men have, in some instances, taken God's maintenance and God's ordination and done something else. Government may exercise an appropriate degree of force in order to maintain the peace, the scripture says. But it doesn't end there. Our text says that the Christian has duties to the government, that the Christian has certain duties to the government. What are we responsible for? Well, first of all, it says to be subject to authority. Now, I'm going to explain these a little later on, but right now, subject to authority, that we're not supposed to be lawbreakers. Now, we're Christians, and we understand that there are certain laws out there that we cannot possibly follow because they go against what God has said in His Word. And no place does God say that man's law is above His law. So there are times when we will have to stand against man's law. But in general, those laws that do not violate God's law, we have a responsibility to be following. We have a responsibility as Christians to do that which is right and that which is good. We are salt and light in this country, salt and light in this community. We're the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're His representatives. What if we're acting just like everybody else? What do we represent? Ourselves, the culture, society. You, and I. We're representatives of Jesus Christ, and our mandate is to do that which is right and to do that which is good. We're responsible to pay our taxes. Now, I can gag on that one myself. But that's our responsibility, to pay our taxes, because otherwise, how do we pay for the police? How do we keep the military going? Now, there are times when the government abuses that privilege, and it also says that we should go on and pay our bills. You know, we're supposed to be responsible citizens. We're supposed to have a testimony in every aspect of our life to do that which is right, so that when people point us, they say, that's the way Christians behave. Not we're trying to be deadbeats. Not that we're trying to cheat on our taxes. And we're supposed to honor the peacemakers and the peacekeepers. Then it goes on to say, and this can be hard sometimes, to pray for those in authority. Under the umbrella of government and authority, we are focusing on the police. And I want you to be thinking about our local Delaware Township Police this morning. And think about our county and state police this morning. I want to share some of the thoughts that others have shared about serving in the military and on the battlefields of the world. And listen to what these people who are in the know, because they've been there, listen to what they say life is like in the military and what it means to be at war. General Douglas MacArthur described the foot soldier, the guy who's in the trenches, as, quote, staggering and bending under soggy pack on many a weary march, from dripping dusk to drizzling dawn, slogging ankle deep through the mire of shell-pocked roads, blue-lipped, covered with sludge and mud, chilled by the wind and rain, driving hard to their objective, who must pay the price of peace with life and limb. And how many young people are coming back from the wars in Iraq with legs missing, with arms missing, who once had wives and children whom they could support. Look at the sacrifice they're making to keep the peace. And how many police are being shot at. And then the most decorated, one of the youngest soldiers in World War II, was a guy named Audie Murphy, who went on to become an actor. He escaped physical hazards of war, and they had an emotional impact on him. And this is what he says. War is like a giant pack rat. It takes something from you, and it leaves something behind in its stead. It burned me. It burned me out. And in some ways, so that now I feel like an old man, but still act like a dumb kid. It made me grow up too fast. Benjamin Franklin said this, there's never been a good war or a bad peace. Those who fight hate war the most. And then former President and General Dwight D. Eisenhower said this, I hate war, as only a soldier who has lived it can, only as one who has seen its brutality, its stupidity. Yet there is one thing to say on the credit side, victory required a mighty manifestation of the most ennobling virtues of man, faith, fortitude, sacrifice, and courage. Those brave men and women at home and abroad should never be dishonored, and what they have done should never be dismissed. They are heroes. Amen, somebody. The answer comes when we ask, why do we have to have war? Why is there violence? Why is there violence as we see it on the streets today? Why is there war? James chapter 4 and verse 1 tells us, where do wars come from, and where do fightings come from among you? Come they not hence even out of your lust that war in your members? They come from the wars that are in our heart. We are by nature violent. We are by nature negative. We are by nature mean-spirited. I mean, look at how children treat children. Some of the meanest people on the planet, whether we want to believe it or not, are little kids. They don't have any controlling mechanism in their brain not to say whatever comes into their heads and blurt it out. It's one of the reasons why there's such a big problem with bullying. They haven't learned what it means to deal in a civilized society and not always blurt out whatever comes to your mind. What is it that's going to strain that kind of anger and violence and mean-spiritedness? It's only the Holy Spirit. Sin is the root cause of wars and fights and disputes. War is the result of mankind's sinful lust for power and greed. And as long as we are alive on this planet, war will be a fact of life. World War I was the war to end all wars. It didn't work. Jesus says that in the time prior to his return to the earth, wars will dominate the human landscape. He said in the last days there shall be wars and rumors of wars. This is the 21st century. This is the most enlightened and technological century in all of humanity's time. You would think by this time we would have figured out that war doesn't work, that peace is great, but we haven't. There are wars all over the Middle East. There's wars going on in Africa. It's a different kind of a war. They call it an asymmetric war. It isn't the guy who's dressed in a uniform with a tank and you can identify who he is and you're warring against nations. You're warring against individual groups. Those are some of the hardest wars of all. These are the wars that go back 2,000 years ago and 3,000 years ago. In every war, nations give their best and bravest, and from such material and out of their fears, heroes are born. Such an heroic figure from Scripture is Joshua. His name means Jehovah saves. Joshua's story is told in the book of Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. In Exodus, he's a slave. He comes from a slave to a soldier, and then he becomes captain of the armies of Israel. And then in Deuteronomy, the captain becomes a national leader. He leads Israel to the promised land. He leads the march around the walled city of Jericho and watched in awe as God brought the walls down. That's Joshua. And Joshua's faith in God was integral to his heroism and the keys to his courage. And from the soil of his life as a slave, the horrors of battle and the challenges of leadership, God sends him a message. Now, he's had all of these accomplishments in his life. He accredits them to God as being the major part of that. But this is a fearful man. This is a man who understands what responsibility is all about. This is a man who understands that once you're in leadership, there's no place to hide. This is a man who's going to experience failure in a great battle. And now he's at a place in his life where he's humbled, he's hurting, and he needs to hear from God himself, and God speaks to him. It's in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And it says this, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Did you hear that, Dave? Your testimony? Did you hear what he said? This is 3,000 years ago, but can I tell you, this is for you. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee?" Again, he tells him, Be strong and of good courage, neither be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. In verse 9, God says, be strong and have courage, fear not. Remember, I am with you and I will never leave you. God tells Joshua, listen, you're going to go into more war. And when you get into the fog of war, your vision is going to be cloudy. When you get into the midst of these challenges, when things look like they're closing in around you, when you feel like the whole world is against you, when you feel like you can't hang on, when you feel like all is lost, I want to tell you, it isn't lost. When you feel like you can't hang on anymore, when you feel like you've lost your grip, when you feel like you're overwhelmed, when you feel like defeat is right at the door, when you feel like you're finished, when you feel like you've come to the end of your rope, you haven't. Because where the rope ends for you, where your fingers end, where your ideas end, where your strength ends, that's where I begin. He said, be strong, have courage, remember what I'm telling you. And he keeps telling it to him over and over again, because the thing that God knows about you and God knows about me is that when we're in the middle of stuff, we're going to forget. We're in the middle of the things that frighten us and intimidate us the most and feel like they're going to overwhelm us the most. That's when we forget. And there's a lesson to understand, and that's this. Never forget in the dark what you've learned in the light. Never forget when you feel like the floods of life are up to your nose and you think you're going to drown. Never give up, because you learned in the cool light of day here on Memorial Day Sunday that God's made a promise never to leave you and never to forsake you. Joshua, like other soldiers, will face the darkest fears in battle. Today's police officers are confronted with the fear of being in a patrol car and a drive-by shooter will take their lives. In Joshua's day, almost every kill was eye to eye. So close, one could feel the opponent's breath on one's face as both struggle for dominance. You want to talk about fear? Fear you've probably never known. In Joshua's text that we just read, God instructs Joshua and encourages Joshua to hold tight to his words. In times of distress and fear, in our most horrific moments and in our darkest nightmares, God's word can shine through like a pinprick of light. God knows that in life, when we are in the midst of a panic attack, a death in the family, a hostage situation, on the battlefield, it feels like time is standing still and all we can do is have a sense of doom. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a near accident and all of a sudden it seemed like everything slowed down? It's a terrible place to be, because it's a place with almost no feelings. It's just a very lonely place. But can I tell you, even in that lonely place, there's God. There's no place you can't go that God isn't there. There's no experience you can't have that he's not looking over your shoulder. There's no situation which is so overwhelming that he can't deal with it. We can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, or we find hope, but we can find hope in despair. God's word reminds us that we are not alone. God is with us, whether the situation is desperate or not, whether the ending is happy or not. We pray so many times, God, give me a happy ending. Well, sometimes there isn't an ending that's going to satisfy you. Sometimes there isn't a happy ending. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to throw in the towel and give up? Are you going to say, I wanted a happy ending, but I didn't get it? Are you going to want to say, I wanted A, but B is what I got? And then just spend the rest of your life being demoralized and distressed and being depressed because it didn't work out the way you wanted it to? We never know if a life-threatening situation will result in life or in death. But the believer knows his fate is in the Father's hand, and death is not the end, just the beginning. In 2015, as police and soldiers walk their posts, the possibility of death is not far from their mind. And whether it's a few miles or thousands of miles away from the peaceful roads of America's rural countryside or the busy streets of our big city, a mother, a father, a husband, wife, children, fear and cry and pray. For them, God's words to Joshua can be powerful and comforting. Be strong, have courage, Don't be afraid. The Lord your God is with you. Do you know that? Beyond a shadow of a doubt? Because doubts will overshadow you. And this morning I wanted to remind us on a Memorial Day weekend to remember. To remember what anybody in the trenches knows. That when you're in there and you're facing the rifle and you're facing that firing and you're facing those bombs going out, one of the things we did in basic was to climb through a minefield. Now, they said, the sergeant said, these are real bombs going off. These are real explosives going off. We didn't know for sure, but it sure felt like it was. And then they were firing tracer shots over our head. And we knew that if we got up, they'd probably shoot us. Hard to imagine. Couldn't believe it. I thought it was all a joke. But it wasn't as I started to see the tracers going over my head. And as we crawled through and I felt those explosions coming out of those pits, I said, what if this was real life? What if I was really going through this? Would I have that sense of God with me? Now, you'll probably never go through that. But you go through your own explosive situations in this life. Remember that God told Joshua, I'm here for you, and I'll never leave you. So how can we support our hero peacekeepers? Our text, Romans 13:1-7, gives us a starting point. Number one, be subject to authority. So let's make it practical. When the police pull you over on the road, a patrolman gets out of the car, don't resist. I think a lot of things that have been happening on the streets in other cities could have been avoided if, rather than resist arrest, people had just given into it. When the cop comes up to you, listen. Do what you're asked. Be courteous. Be kind. Be polite. They'll appreciate that. Number two, the text tells us this. Number two, the text says, be a good law-abiding citizen. You have nothing to fear if you're not breaking the law. Nothing at all. Number three, honor the officer or soldier by thanking them for their service, and don't be afraid to say, God bless you. It'll go a long way to all the other people they're going to come across in the course of their day. People are going to be very rude to them without even rolling down the window. They're going to curse at them. They're going to say all manner of terrible things against them. They're going to have a bad attitude. You're going to be like a ray of light. Oh, funny, I thought that's what we are, a ray of light. And fourth, pray for your local police and those in service in the military at home or abroad. Are these easy? Who said easy? Where did God say, and by the way, everything I'm going to give you is easy? If it was easy, anybody could do it. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. That's why you need this book. That's why we need each other. That's why we need prayer, because guess what? What we're talking about is not easy. To sum it up to America, I would like to leave my message over the airwaves. America, Christians are part of the solution. They're not part of the problem. We honor those who serve today. I honor your service. I honor your service to your family, to your friends, to this church, to our country. May God bless you. Let's pray. So, Father, this morning we give you praise. We give you glory and honor, and we thank you that you haven't left us alone on this tumultuous planet. We know, Lord, that things are going to come our way because life doesn't go in a straight line, and life is full of surprises. But, Lord, you're the one that straightens out the lines and bursts the balloon of surprise that we might be able to get through these things in life. We pray your blessing upon those who serve today, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.